like to start in the book of John. John and chapter 11, that's page 1283 in my Bible. John chapter 11 and verse 1. Now there was a certain man sick, Lazarus of Bethany, by the village of Mary and Martha, her sister. And I'd like to turn over the page, please. And from middle of verse 3. Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified by it. Then I'd like to read a little bit in verse 11, halfway through verse 11. And after this, he, that is Jesus, says to them, Lazarus, our friend, is fallen asleep, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. The disciples therefore said to him, Lord, if he be fallen asleep, he will get well. But Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he spoke of the rest of sleep. Jesus therefore then said to them plainly, Lazarus has died. We have here one that is sick, one that is unwell, Lazarus. Sickness affects us all. We have one here who was sick and then he died. What's the reason? What's the cause of this? Why is this man sick? And why did he die? Scripture tells us there's a time to be born and there's a time to die. Why is it then that we are to die? Well, dear friends, we're in need. We are sinners. We have fallen short of the standards that God has set. We are not holy as God would seek us to be holy. We have fallen short of his standard. We have disobeyed him. And so sin has entered in. Sin, short word, means a great thing. It means a great thing. The wages of sin is death. Wages of sin is death. And we all have certain sickness, this sin, that leads to death. What a sorry sight it is. We buy a bunch of flowers. How lovely they are. But soon they wither. Soon they die. This sickness has played creation. You go for a nice walk out and then you see a cemetery. You think of the sickness there. Think of hundreds of people died. But dear friends, the gospel has an answer to this. The gospel has an answer to this sickness that plagues you and I. Each one of us has had a family that has been affected by this. And dear friend, you are affected by this condition of sin. Sickness that will lead to death. But we have one here who has the power over death and has the ability to bring in life. Can we continue reading? Verse 15. I rejoice on your account that I was not there, in order that ye may believe. But let us go to him. And then I'd like to read from verse 17. Jesus, therefore, arriving, found him to have been 4 days already in the tomb. And now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 15 stadia off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary, and they might console them concerning their brother. Martha then, when she had heard Jesus coming, went to meet him, but Mary sat at the house. Martha therefore said to Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been there, my brother had not died. But even now I know whatsoever thou shalt ask of God, God shall give it thee. Jesus says to her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha says to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection in the last day. And Jesus says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes on me, though he have died, shall live. And everyone who lives and believes on me shall never die. Believest thou this? She says to him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, who should come into the world. Well, we learn here about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's God's beloved Son. God's beloved Son. He's come here. We read in the passages of Scripture about his movements, how he loved Lazarus, and he arrived at his tomb 4 days later. And then has this discussion with Martha. Martha believed that he was the Son of God, but she was focused on the event of a resurrection. Jesus then comes in. It's about the person. It's about the person of Jesus. I am the resurrection and the life, he that believes on me. Dear friends, I would point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. For the sickness of sin, for the sickness of death, he is the answer. I am the resurrection and the life. I am was used in Exodus, wasn't it? I am that I am. Declaration that I'm God. That Jesus here is saying, I am divine. I am God. And then he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes on me, though he have died, shall live. So there is an answer, even though we might, our bodies might die, that we shall live if you believe on him. Well, question is, believest thou this? Do you believe this? Dear friend, do you believe that Jesus, God's beloved Son, has come this way for you, for me? He went the way of the cross to suffer and to die. We will come on to that. We see here Martha's vision, her view fixed upon him. I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God. How wonderful that is. I would seek that your heart and your lips would proclaim the Lord Jesus as the Son of God, the Christ. And then we learn in verse 33 about Jesus having come to the tomb. And then we read verse 33. Jesus, therefore, all these movements we will see, Jesus doing, Jesus acting, Jesus saying, Jesus, therefore, when he saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have you put him? And they say to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. And the Jews, therefore, said, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man who has opened the eyes of the blind have caused this man also should not have died? Jesus, therefore, again, deeply moved in himself, comes to the tomb. And now it was a cave, a stone laid upon it. Jesus says, Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead, says to him, Lord, he stinks already, for he is 4 days there. Jesus says to her, Didst I not say to thee that thou shouldst believe, that thou shouldst see the glory of God? They took therefore the stone away, and Jesus lifted his eyes on high and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. But I knewest that thou always hearest me, but on account of the crowd who standing around it, I have said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." And having said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And the dead came forth, bound in his hands with grave clothes, and his face was bound around with a handkerchief. And Jesus says to them, "Loose him and let him go." Many, therefore, of the Jews who came to Mary and saw what he had done believed on him. But some of them that went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. Think of this. Think of the feelings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Feelings of being deeply moved in spirit. Seeing those weeping there at the death of Lazarus, his friend. Jesus wept. It's the shortest verse in the Bible. How intense was Jesus' feelings here? Deeply moved in spirit. The view of corruption, the view of death, the view of the impact of sin upon creation and upon man. He is deeply moved. Any different? The Lord Jesus is deeply moved by your state and by your condition that you are in. There were those that, could this man not say, keep him alive? Could he not, this man that has, Jesus, who has caused the blind to see, can he not make alive this man? And then we see, yes, yes indeed, the Lord Jesus can unbind the dead, can make them come forth out of the grave, out of the tomb, out of death itself. Just what a wonderful image that is. Those there that would be weeping, mourning, sorrowful at their brother being dead 4 days. Corruption had taken place. Corruption. It stunk. And yet, the Lord Jesus could say, look, roll away the stone. Roll away the stone. And he then prays to his Father that those there would believe that he was sent by the Father. And then Lazarus comes forth, bound feet and hands with grave clothes. It's an interesting thought that he would be able to come even bound. A bit miraculous, I think, that he was able to come forth bound. But that's the power of Jesus. And then Jesus says, loosen him and let him go. Dear friends, Satan would seek to bind. Satan would seek to destroy, seek to divide. But the Lord Jesus would like to loosen you from the grips of addiction, loosen you from the grips of mental health, of physical burdens, spiritual burdens rather. He would like to draw you to be with him. And many therefore believed. There's witnesses in the scriptures about this event. This event has been written for your acceptance. We see that there's many that believed on him because of these, because of what Jesus has done. But we see the heart of man. In verse 53, from that day, therefore, they took counsel. That is the Pharisees. The Pharisees, they took counsel that they might kill him. Jesus, therefore, walked no longer openly among the Jews, but went away hence into the country near the desert. Think of that. Think of that. The one who says, I am the resurrection and the life. And yet, man's heart, so hardened by it, by their self-importance, by their position, that they would seek to kill the Lord of life, the Prince of Peace. wonder at it, dear friends, that yet that same heart, same spirit can be within each one of us. You know, they've got the crowd saying, away with him, away with him. We will not have him reign. Well, if we were in the crowd, would we say that ourselves? So it's a sobering thought. But, dear friends, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. What does that mean? What does that mean when he says, I am the resurrection? It meant, dear friend, that he had to go into death, had to go into death itself. He had to suffer and to die, the just for the unjust. We read in the next chapter about Mary, who poured out great ointments of pure nard upon the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and wiped his feet with her hair. And we see Jesus full knowledge of what was going to happen to him. Suffer her to have kept this for the day of my preparation for burial. Think of that, dear friends. The Lord Jesus Christ came here as a man, God incarnate, for you and for me. He knew the condition of man. He greatly wept over the condition of man. And he would have to go that path. Obedience, perfect obedience to God and to his Father's will. And that way to Calvary's cross. There to suffer and to die. Think of how the hearts of men were truly against the Lord Jesus. They put a sham trial in. They mocked him. They dressed him up in purple. Royal, it speaks of royalty, but they were mocking him. My Saviour. My Saviour. And yet, he endured it all. He endured the shame. He endured the mockery, the spitting upon. And then there he was to be led, unable to bear his own cross. That's how bad and how cruel mankind treated him. And there he was to be put upon two pieces of wood. Cursed is the man that is hung upon a tree. And yet it was love. Love for you, love for me, that he went that way. And love for his God and Father. And dear friends, he there expired and died. You can read in John 10. John 10 and verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus laid down his life for you. Jesus laid down his life. I lay down my life that I might take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it again. Wonder at it. Love took him there. Love put him upon that cross. Love held him on that cross for you and for me. No one has greater love than this, than what that one should lay down his life for his friends. And dear friend, he laid down his life for you. He went into death while he endured the wrath of God upon the cross, like 3 hours of darkness that no man can see. Then he gave up his spirit. And then the shedding of his precious blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. These might seem like facts about how great and how these events, but how great they are. How great they are. He laid down his life. The blood speaks of life. He gave it up. And then he was put in a tomb where we are, where we deserve. We sung in our hymn, "Worthy of death, O God, were we, that vengeance was our due. Himself, our sins, he did bear. Himself, our sins, whilst hanging there. He was crucified for my sins. He was crucified for your sins. But he is no longer there. He is no longer in death. He's no longer in the tomb. He's broke forth. I have the authority to take it up again. And dear friends, he is alive. He is risen, glorified. The work complete. Jesus on the cross said, it is finished. It is finished. All the ugly, the wicked, the evil sins that mankind has committed from beginning of creation to the end were borne by the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. And dear friends, I might ask is that you might, and it would be the desire of the Lord Jesus, that you might believe upon him. Believe upon him. What does he say? He that believes on me, though he have died, shall live. He is the resurrection and the life. And dear friends, there is a day coming when he will return. He will return and bring every believer to be with him for eternity. And there shall be life, and life abundantly. But there is a warning. There is a warning in the gospel. Can we turn to Luke, please? Whilst the Lord Jesus is returning, whilst we might die, and there is the thought of another resurrection. There is that day of resurrection that they spoke of. We read in Luke in chapter 16. This is the solemn side of the gospel, when sudden things get fixed. Verse 90. Now there was a rich man, and he was clothed in purple and fine linen, making good cheer and splendor every day. And there was a poor man by name Lazarus. This is a different Lazarus from the Lazarus of Bethany. Lazarus, who was laid in the gateway, full of sores and desiring to be filled with the crumbs which fell from the table of the rich man. But the dogs also coming licked his sores. And it came to pass that the poor man died, and he was carried away by angels into the bosom of Abraham. And the rich man also died and was buried, and in Hades, lifting up his eyes, being in torment, he sees Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried, saying, Father Abraham, have compassion on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am suffering in this flame. But Abraham said, Child, recollect that thou hast fully received thy good things in thy lifetime, and likewise Lazarus' evil things. But now he is comforted here, and thou art in suffering. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm fixed, and so that those who desire to pass hence, you cannot, nor they who desire to cross from there pass over unto us. This is solemn, sobering. This speaks as to the fixed state when you die or the Lord comes. This is when time shall cease to be, really. When, dear friends, if you do not accept the gospel, we see here a man who was making splendor, richness of his life whilst on earth, clothed in purple, fine linen, making good day, a good cheer and splendor every day. Men of this world love to go and go on holidays, love to go and party or whatever it might be, even go to work and labor intensively, climb the ladder. Dear friends, a warning here. He didn't take count of the day that he might die. He didn't consider what happens to his soul. And dear friends, he ends up in hell. In hell. In Hades. And we learn about his suffering there. Desirous just a tiny bit of water to cool his tongue. I'm suffering in this flame. Dear friend, do not reject the glad tidings. Because otherwise there's a fixed chasm. A great chasm is fixed. You cannot pass. You cannot enter in once that is set. But dear friends, now is the well-accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Now is God's hand stretched out in blessing, in grace towards you and towards me. Now we can believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now it is the opportunity. Do not waste it. Do not waste it. We think of here how it speaks to, begging, can you send, let's read it so we don't misinterpret it. I beseech thee that thou, Father, that thou wouldst send him, Lazarus, to the house of my father, that I have five brothers, so that they might earnestly testify to them, that they may not come to this place of torment. But Abraham says to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Dear friends, we've had as to Lazarus being brought into life. And we see the Lord Jesus act there, bringing in healing, bringing in life. Is that not enough testimony, dear friends, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? But one from the dead should go to them. They will repent. Well, dear friends, we have it in the scriptures. The question is, will you believe? Will you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Turn to him in your need, dear friends. Turn to him while he is near. He is a lovely Savior. He is beautiful. His face is glorious. He is he sticketh closer than a brother. He is all the way home Savior, as we sometimes say. I just pray that you might put your faith and trust in him. Repent of your sins and believe the glad tidings. Believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt live. Thou shalt live. Well, I do pray that you might do so tonight while you still can, for his name's sake. Amen.